Brothers and sisters, I have a lot of respect for a man from Argentina who is almost 88 years old and who has been the head of the Roman Catholic Church since 2013. Pope Francis is known for doing things his own way and generally rather differently than his predecessors. And soon after he was elected, he did something that was completely unprecedented. It was Maundy Thursday. The Pope had been invited to hold Mass at a prison for young offenders. But when he got there, he not only held Mass, he also washed the feet of 12 young prisoners. This is a ritual which is practiced in some parishes on Maundy Thursday. But it's definitely not something that a pope would do, and certainly not in a prison, at least not until Pope Francis came around. With this gesture, he set an example to others, demonstrating that anyone can serve someone else, irrelevant of that person's background, their biography, or their faith. One of the young men whose feet he washed was a member of the mafia. Another young man was a Muslim. The Pope didn't differentiate. To him, it didn't matter a bit who these young men were, where they were from, why they were there, what they had done. He felt compassion for them as fellow human beings, and he showed them a personal gesture of acceptance and of God's love. And it wasn't simply a PR gag, because apart from the corona years when he wasn't allowed to do such things, he's continued with this ritual every year since. This example of showing compassion for others who are in a difficult situation is the essence of what Jesus is saying in today's gospel. St. Matthew depicts here a kind of judgment day where Christ will come and separate everybody into two groups according to their actions. Matthew writes, "He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he would put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left." Animal lovers may protest at the use of this sheep and goat metaphor, but in fact this will have had a direct association for the people in Matthew's day. Sheep and goats grazed together in one herd, but in the evenings they were always separated for a very simple reason. Sheep are pretty hardy. They can generally survive outside even if it's cold. But goats are less hardy. They need the shelter of a stable and the warmth at night. In this depiction, the people are separated according to what they have done, or maybe not done. Jesus first addresses those on his right, praising them for everybody to hear, saying, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." These people are all rather surprised, asking him when they did these things, for they have no recollection of doing so. Jesus explains that they've done these things for others, and in doing so, they've done them for him also. Jesus calls these people righteous. He says they are blessed by God and have a place in the kingdom that God has made for them. Then he turns to the other people on his left and rebukes them, saying, "I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me." These people are just as surprised as the others, maybe even confused, and ask Jesus when they have seen him in such need and failed to help him. Jesus replies, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." In failing to do these things for others, these people have failed God and are therefore accursed. There's no place for them, Jesus says, in God's kingdom. These words are not about collecting brownie points in this life in order to guarantee a place in heaven when we die. These words are not meant to instill fear in us about whether we will pass some kind of exam on Judgment Day. These words, rather, are meant to people take one step back and look at their own lives and reflect on their behaviour, to ask themselves how they are acting and if they are doing the right thing. The simple acts of human love that Jesus refers to, they belong to the acts of love that were a standard part of the Jewish faith in Jesus' day, namely, providing hospitality for strangers, taking in and caring for orphans, accompanying a bride to her wedding, visiting the sick, burying the dead, and consoling the grieving. These acts of love were all highly valued and will have been absolute common knowledge to everybody at that time. What is new for the people listening to Jesus is that he has included himself in the equation. In doing things for others, the righteous among them, he says, carried out acts of love for Jesus, and those who have neglected to help others may not have broken any laws, but they have failed Jesus. None of the people listening to Jesus are aware of their merits or their failings until he tells them, because they don't see the connection between their actions or lack of actions and Jesus. Jesus, however, identifies himself with the needy, with the poor, the sick, the outcast, those who have wronged, the many people who are shunned, ostracized by society. It is his deep and sincere compassion for these little ones, as he calls them, that moves Jesus to say what he does. It is a central aim of his ministry to draw attention to those who are in need of compassion and love. Jesus' words will have been food for thought for people at that time, and they still are for us today. Even the examples he uses still fit today. Here in Germany, most of us, lead a very privileged life, and I'm pretty sure that we're aware of that fact. Likewise, a lot of people here give generously when they can to projects supporting the needy, which is reflected in the collections during our church services, or the large sums of money that are raised each year by the Weihnachtshilfe here in Hanover, or organisations such as Brot für die Welt. There are also numerous ways to help the needy in Hanover, such as supporting Das Neue Land with their SOS Bistro. There, people who are homeless or addicted or both have access to a meal, a shower, and to fresh clothes. Support is always welcome, be it a financial contribution or volunteers to help in the bistro. If you're interested in helping someone who is in prison, there's an organization called Schwarzes Kreuz, which was founded in Celle but operates all over the country. After a preparation course, volunteers support people in prison by writing to them or visiting them and in practical matters. This kind of gesture is invaluable to prison inmates who are generally shunned by most of society. It can also help them to turn back on crime and to be reintegrated in society when they are released from prison. Later in the service, we will hear about a project run by Intermission, called Raus aus dem Rotlicht, out of the red light area. It's a project aimed at helping women and children in India living in desperate circumstances. Our collection today will be donated to that project. I would like to now share one or two more thoughts with you on another way in which we can show compassion towards others, apart from financial help, which we cannot always give. It's about listening. Some of you may already have heard about the Little Sisters of Jesus. In German, they're called Die kleinen Schwestern Jesu, founded by Sister Madeleine in 1939. Inspired by Charles de Foucault, she felt a vocation to witness her life to the love of God and to attend to the needs of the poor and the neglected. She lived among the poor and the destitute for many years among the Muslim nomads in the Algerian Sahara, sharing their lives, showing them God's love, and listening to them. Almost 100 years later, her work continues today. The Little Sisters of Jesus live and work in many countries all over the world, but they don't live in convents. They live among the poor in tiny groups of three or four women. They are often highly educated women, but they don't work in that kind of job. They take on menial jobs like cleaning. They share their lives with those around them, helping others in any way they can. There actually used to be a group of Little Sisters here in Hanover in the Mühlenberg district, but sadly they moved away a few years ago. Listening to other people is a very simple but also important way of showing compassion. Some parish churches have volunteers who are so-called listeners. Many years ago, my mother was once a listener at Durham Cathedral. There was some kind of application procedure and training, and then she was put on a rota system with other volunteers. They would stand in the entrance area just inside the cathedral with a badge identifying them as listeners. And if someone was in distress and wanted a chat, they could approach one of them. In my work as a hospice volunteer, I visited an old gentleman almost every week for nearly 8 years until he died recently at the age of 97. Most of my time there was spent just listening to him, giving him the space and opportunity to share his still very vivid war memories as a prisoner of war at 17, but also his worries and his problems, the things he could not share with his son or his daughter. There are, of course, times when we are so taken up with our own personal problems or with family issues that we don't have any capacity left to help others. Then maybe we are the ones who need someone else to listen to us. We can't solve other people's problems. We can't take away their pain and their sorrow. But we can show them that we care by giving them our time and by listening to them, allowing them to share their worries. Just being there can make a world of difference to that other person. Offering to pray for someone is also a sign of compassion, a gesture of love. Often it's simply about being a neighbour. So I would like to close now with a question we can all ask ourselves. When I needed a neighbour, were you there? Amen.